Aramaic dialect of Bovel differs from the Aramaic dialect of Eretz Yisrael. And the Aramaic dialect of Bovel becomes to us the language of the Talmud, and therefore for a Jew to be an intelligent Jew, to be a learned Jew, to be a knowledgeable Jew, it is insufficient to know Hebrew, he has to know this Aramaic as well. And that's really what part of the problems that we have in our time or in all times of teaching Talmud is the enormous language barrier that you have, because you're teaching a completely foreign language, and if you put emphasis on the language, then you lose the train of thought. If you put emphasis on the train of thought, then you never have the technical skills in the language. That's the problem, and the solution is to learn, and the solution is to overcome it. But that has always been the problem. And the Babylonian Aramaic has remained part and parcel of Jewish life till our time. Absolutely part and parcel until our time. And we see it, we have certain parts of our prayer service, of our davening in that Aramaic, of which the Yakum Purkan is only one example. The famous poem for Shavuos that we'll recite, Akdomas, is written in that type of Aramaic. The Ksuba that we read under the Chuppah, according to the custom of all of the Jewish communities, almost all of the Jewish communities, is written in Aramaic. It's not written in Hebrew, and it's not written in the language of the people, the spoken language, even though technically on the basis of law it could be. But it's always written in Aramaic. Bills of divorcement, a get, always written in Aramaic. So the language of the Talmud remained with the Jewish people, wherever they went. So Jews have a lot of languages with them. They have Hebrew, they have Aramaic, Eastern European Jews had Yiddish, the Spanish Jews had Ladino, Arabic. So a Jew by nature was a linguist. He knew many languages. He had to in order to know his tradition, in order to understand his tradition. The Savaroyim also, to a certain extent, punctuated the Talmud for us. And you know the Talmud has almost no punctuation. And because of that, it becomes very, very difficult to deal with. And we're talking about the Talmud pre-Rashi, before there's Rashi in the world. We're talking about the Talmud before Rabbeinu Chananel, before Rabbi Yehuda Gaon, before anyone touched it. So it's imagine having a book 23,000 pages without a period, comma, or capital letter. And start, sit down and start. So the Rabbonim Savaroi attempted not to punctuate it in our terms of punctuation, but to make chapter headings, to divide it, to insert the Mishnahs in the proper places. And therefore you'll notice that in the Talmud, for instance, the way the Mishnah is divided is not always the way it's divided in the Mishnayos. In the Mishnayos, sometimes one Mishnah in the Talmud appears as two or three, or vice versa. Because the Talmud is a living, tape-recorded discussion of the matters that the Mishnah discussed, the matters brought to the fore by the Mishnah. And therefore, the discussion is much more freewheeling. It's not that formalized. And many times, therefore, they have to break the Mishnah up differently in order to accommodate the flow of the discussion as it was recorded and as it was written. Now these Rabbonim Savaroi also made copies of the Talmud. In an age where carbon paper has been displaced by the copy machine, in an age where to make a copy it doesn't count for anything anymore. It is difficult for us to imagine. Just imagine if you have to copy everything by hand, and you don't have a ballpoint pen, and you don't have paper. You're talking about papyrus scrolls, and you're talking about quill pens.